Ever get that feeling like you're just bombarded with information? You know, everyone's got an opinion or a hot take or, you know, some juicy gossip they just have to share. How do you even like sift through it all
It is.
and figure out what's actually worth paying attention to?
It's a real challenge in today's world, right? I mean, we're just drowning in information, and it's so easy to just feel overwhelmed or even manipulated.
And that's why I am so fascinated by this concept of the three sieves of Socrates. It's like, a mental filter, a way to make our communication more intentional and impactful.
I like that.
And we're going to be diving into this idea using this text, The Three Sieves of Socrates, A Guide to Thoughtful Communication, which, you know, not only explains the sieves themselves, but also makes some like really interesting connections to modern psychology.
It's incredible how this wisdom from ancient Greece is still so relevant today, especially with the rise of social media and just the constant influx of information we all face.
So let's just jump right in. The first sieve is all about truth. And the text tells this story about someone running up to Socrates, bursting with news, like all excited. But Socrates stalks them with this really simple question: Is it true?
It seems obvious, right? But how often do we actually pause to verify information before we share it?
Oh, that's so true.
The sieve of truth challenges us to really consider the source, to look for evidence, and to be wary of rumors or, things that just sound true.
Yeah, and that's where it gets really interesting because our brains can actually play tricks on us. There's this thing called the illusory truth effect, where like the more we hear something repeated, the more likely we are to believe it, even if it's not actually true.
It's scary.
I know.
Think about all those urban legends or those facts that get passed around online.
Right?
How often do we actually take the time to fact check them?
Never.
We need to be more discerning, especially in this age of misinformation.
Yeah, I've definitely fallen for some questionable claims in the past.
Oh, me too.
It's so easy to get caught up in the moment and just, you know, hit that share button
Oh, for sure.
without really thinking it through.
We've all been there. But the key is to develop that critical thinking muscle. The next time you encounter a piece of information, ask yourself, what's the source? Is there any evidence to support this? Or am I just buying into something because it's been repeated a lot?
Okay, so sieve number one, truth. Make sure it's the real deal before you spread it around.
For sure.
Now, on to sieve number two, kindness. What makes this one so important?
The sieve of kindness asks, is what I'm about to say kind? Does it actually contribute positively to this interaction, or could it cause harm? It's about being mindful of the impact our words have on others.
This reminds me of nonviolent communication, or NVC, which focuses on expressing ourselves authentically, but also considering the needs and feelings of the other person.
Yeah, that's a great connection. NVC provides a really practical framework for putting the sieve of kindness into action.
How so?
So instead of like blaming or criticizing, we can focus on expressing our own observations, feelings, and needs, and then make clear requests.
So, for example, instead of saying you're always late.
Which can feel accusatory. You could say, I noticed you arrived later than we agreed upon. I'm feeling a bit stressed because I need to stick to the schedule. Would you be willing to let me know in advance if you're running behind next time?
That's a really good example.
It takes more effort, but it can make a huge difference in how our message is received and how the relationship actually evolves. It creates that sense of safety and respect.
I've definitely noticed that when I make an effort to communicate more kindly, even in difficult conversations, it just helps to kind of de-escalate the situation and find common ground. Have you found that to be true in your own life?
Oh, absolutely. It's like choosing to build bridges instead of walls. And it's something that we can practice, in any interaction, whether it's with, a loved one or a colleague or even a stranger.
So we've got truth and kindness, two pretty powerful filters already.
For sure.
What about sieve number three?
Sieve number three is all about necessity. It asks, is it necessary to share this information?
Oh, this one feels particularly relevant in the age of social media, where it's so easy to overshare every thought and feeling that pops into our heads.
The sieve of necessity challenges us to just pause and consider, does this information really need to be said? Will it add value to the conversation? to the situation?
Okay.
Or am I just adding to the noise?
Yeah, it's almost like decluttering our communication.
It is.
Getting rid of all the excess words and just focusing on what truly matters.
Yeah.
And there's actually like a neuroscience angle to this too.
Oh, tell me more about that.
Well, you know how sometimes you almost say something?
Oh, yeah.
But then you catch yourself at the last minute.
Yes.
That's your prefrontal cortex kicking in.
Okay.
It's like the part of your brain that's responsible for impulse control.
Got it.
And mindfulness practices like taking a deep breath before you speak.
Yeah.
Can actually strengthen that impulse control.
Okay.
And help us be more discerning about what we choose to share.
That makes so much sense.
Yeah.
It's like hitting the pause button before we speak.
Yes.
And giving ourselves that moment to consider if our words are truly aligned with our intentions.
Exactly. And if they're not,
yeah,
we have the power to choose silence instead.
Yes. I love that.
So it's about being intentional with our communication and making sure that our words are actually contributing something meaningful to the world.
And I like that a lot.
So we've got truth, kindness, and necessity.
Yes.
Three incredibly powerful filters for our words.
Absolutely.
But how do these ancient principles connect to modern psychology? That's where I think things get even more interesting.
I agree. There are some fascinating parallels between the three sieves and concepts like cognitive behavioral therapy or CBT.
Ooh, okay.
It's amazing how these ancient ideas can still be so relevant today.
Okay, let's dive into that. I'm really curious to explore those connections.
Let's do it. CBT is all about like recognizing and challenging those unhelpful thought patterns that can lead to, you know, negative emotions and behaviors.
Yeah.
And when you think about it,
okay,
the sieves of truth and necessity are basically doing the same thing.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
Like if I'm about to share, you know, some gossip about a coworker.
Right.
The sieve of truth would challenge me to ask, is this even true? Do I have all the facts?
Exactly.
And then the sieve of necessity would make me consider, does anyone actually benefit from me sharing this?
Yes.
Is it contributing anything positive?
Exactly. By applying those sieves, you're essentially engaging in a CBT technique called thought challenging.
Okay.
You're questioning the validity and helpfulness of your thoughts before you act on them.
That's so cool. It's like taking those therapeutic tools.
It is.
And applying them to our everyday communication.
It is.
What about the sieve of kindness? How does that fit into the psychology piece?
The sieve of kindness aligns beautifully with the concepts of empathy and emotional intelligence.
Okay.
Empathy allows us to understand and share the feelings of others.
Right.
Which is essential for building strong, healthy relationships.
Yeah.
And emotional intelligence is about being aware of and managing our own emotions.
Good.
As well as, you know, recognizing and responding appropriately to the emotions of others.
So instead of just reacting impulsively to a situation,
yeah,
the sieve of kindness encourages us to take a step back and consider the other person's perspective.
Oh, absolutely.
To really tune into what they might be feeling or needing in that moment.
Precisely. And that's where mindfulness comes in.
Okay.
It's the common thread running through all three sieves.
You know, we've mentioned mindfulness a few times now.
Yeah.
I'd love to explore that a bit further.
Okay.
How does being mindful actually enhance our communication?
Mindfulness helps us to create that space between our thoughts and our actions.
Okay.
It allows us to slow down, observe our thoughts and feelings without judgment, and to choose how we want to respond rather than just, you know, reacting habitually.
So it's not just about filtering our own words,
right?
But also about being more present and receptive to what the other person is communicating.
Exactly.
Both verbally and non-verbally.
Absolutely. When we're truly present in a conversation, we can pick up on those subtle cues,
right?
Like tone of voice, body language, and facial expressions.
Okay.
This deeper level of listening allows us to respond with more empathy and understanding.
Okay, so we've covered the psychology behind the sieves.
Yes.
Now let's get practical.
Okay.
What are some specific steps our listeners can take to actually apply these sieves in their own lives?
Our source material, The Three Sieves of Socrates, offers some fantastic advice.
Okay.
It emphasizes the importance of developing active listening skills.
Active listening goes beyond just hearing the words right. It's about giving the speaker your undivided attention.
Yes.
Paying attention to their nonverbal cues, asking clarifying questions, and reflecting back what you've heard to ensure understanding.
Exactly.
It's about making the other person feel truly heard and seen.
Exactly. And when you practice active listening, you naturally start filtering what you hear through the sieves.
Yeah.
You might find yourself asking, you know, is what they're saying true? based on what I know, is it kind, or is there a more compassionate way to phrase this? Is it necessary for me to respond right now, or can I just hold space for them?
It's like those questions become second nature.
They do.
Guiding us towards more mindful communication.
Precisely. Another crucial step is to enhance your emotional awareness.
Yeah, this is where things can get tricky. Sometimes our emotions can just, like, hijack our communication.
Oh, yeah.
Leading us to say things we later regret.
That's why it's so important to be able to identify your own emotional state before you speak.
Okay.
Notice what's happening in your body. Are you feeling tense, anxious, frustrated, angry?
All right.
The more aware you are of your own emotions, the better equipped you'll be to manage them.
Right.
And communicate effectively.
Our source material actually suggests using the framework from nonviolent communication to help with this.
It does.
Could you walk us through that a bit?
Of course. NVC breaks down communication into four key components.
Okay.
Observation, feeling, need, and request.
Okay.
When you're triggered in a conversation, try to identify. What's the observation? The neutral fact of the situation.
Okay.
What am I feeling in response to this?
Okay.
What need of mine is not being met right now? And what specific request can I make to get my needs met in a way that also respects the other person?
That's such a clear and helpful structure.
Mm-hmm.
And it really forces you to slow down and get curious about what's going on beneath the surface.
It does.
Both for yourself and for the other person.
Exactly. It shifts us from a place of blame and judgment to a place of empathy and understanding.
Okay, so we've got active listening.
Yes.
And emotional awareness.
Mm-hmm.
What other practical tips does the book offer?
It highlights the importance of pausing before you speak.
Oh, yeah.
That moment of silence, even just for a few seconds, can be incredibly powerful.
Totally.
It allows you to collect your thoughts,
check
in with your emotions, and consider whether your words are aligned with the three sieves.
It's like hitting the reset button on your communication.
It is.
And giving yourself a chance to choose a more mindful response.
Exactly. And the more you practice this, the easier it becomes.
Right.
It's like building a muscle, but for mindful communication.
I love that analogy. It's something we can all work on, strengthening our ability to respond thoughtfully rather than react impulsively.
I agree.
What else?
The book also suggests setting communication intentions.
Yeah.
Before you enter a conversation, take a moment to reflect on your goals. What do you hope to achieve? What kind of energy do you want to bring to the interaction?
So it's like setting a mental compass for your communication.
Exactly.
Making sure you're heading in the right direction.
Precisely. And you can align those intentions with the three sieves.
Okay.
For example, you might say to yourself, I intend to speak truthfully and kindly in this conversation, focusing on what's necessary to achieve a positive outcome.
It's like setting a positive intention for the interaction.
It is.
Which can have a ripple effect on everyone involved.
Absolutely.
I love that. These are all such practical and actionable tips.
They are.
Now, I know our source material provides some really relatable everyday examples of the sieves in action.
It does.
Do you have one in mind that we could explore together?
Absolutely. How about the one about the colleague rumor?
Oh, yeah.
I think we've all been in situations where we've heard some juicy gossip about a coworker.
Oh, definitely. That's a classic example of where the sieves can come in handy.
It is.
So let's say you overhear a rumor about a colleague.
Okay.
Before you spread it, apply the sieves.
First,
the sieve of truth.
Okay.
Can you actually verify the source of this rumor?
Right.
Or is it just hearsay?
Yeah.
Did you hear it directly from someone involved, or was it third or fourth hand information?
Right. It's so easy to just get caught up in the excitement of gossip.
Yeah.
But it's crucial to check the facts.
Yeah.
Before you contribute to spreading misinformation.
And then on to the sieve of kindness.
Okay.
Would sharing this rumor harm or help your colleague?
Right. Yeah.
Would it create unnecessary drama or negativity in the workplace?
Good point.
Is it really any of your business, or are you just meddling?
These are such important questions to consider.
Yeah.
Oftentimes spreading rumors, even if they're true, can damage someone's reputation and create a toxic work environment.
And finally, the sieve of necessity.
Okay.
Does anyone actually benefit from knowing this information?
Mm.
Is it relevant to your work or your relationship with this colleague?
Right.
Or is it just idle gossip that's better left unsaid?
Exactly. If the answer is no, then it's probably best to keep it to yourself.
Right.
It's about respecting people's privacy and not contributing to a culture of gossip.
That's such a simple but powerful framework for navigating those tricky social situations.
It is.
It really highlights how the sieves can help us make more mindful choices in our everyday conversations.
For sure.
Any other examples from the book that really resonated with you?
There's one that really struck me about a woman who's excited about her new hobby.
Okay.
But her friend keeps bombarding her with all this unsolicited advice and negativity.
Mm-hmm.
It beautifully illustrates how the sieves can help us to navigate, you know, well-intentioned,
right,
but sometimes unhelpful conversations.
Oh, I remember that one. It's so relatable.
Right. We've all been on both sides of that situation at some point.
For sure.
So imagine your friend is gushing about their new pottery class.
Okay.
But all you can think about is how much money they're spending or how messy it's going to be.
Yeah, it's so easy to fall into that trap of projecting our own anxieties or judgments onto others.
It is.
Right.
That's where the sieve of kindness comes in.
Okay.
Before you launch into your unsolicited advice or criticisms,
right,
ask yourself, is this kind?
Mm-hmm.
Is this what my friend needs right now?
Yeah.
Am I supporting their enthusiasm or am I just raining on their parade?
It's about shifting from a place of I know better to a place of genuine curiosity and support.
Exactly. And then the sieve of necessity.
Okay.
Is it really necessary to share your concerns right now?
Right.
Maybe they're just excited and want to share their joy.
Yeah.
Maybe they're fully aware of the potential downsides, but are choosing to focus on the positive.
It's about respecting their autonomy and allowing them to make their own choices, even if we would make the same ones.
Right. And even if you do have genuine concerns,
yeah,
there's always a kinder and more constructive way to express them.
Okay. How so?
You could say something like, I'm so happy for you. It sounds like you're really enjoying this. I'm a little curious, though. Have you thought about...
That's such a great example of how to balance honesty with kindness.
It is.
It's about expressing your thoughts and feelings without shutting down the other person.
Precisely. It's about creating a space where both people feel heard and respected.
Our conversation earlier about mindfulness and information overload really got me thinking.
Oh, yeah.
What if we applied the three sieves, not just to how we communicate...
Okay.
But also to how we consume information.
Whoa, that's a fascinating idea. I love where you're going with this.
It's like we're constantly bombarded with information.
Oh, I are.
From news, social media, podcasts, you know,
yeah,
the works.
Yeah.
What if we use the three sieves as filters for all that input?
I like it.
Okay, so imagine you're scrolling through your newsfeed and you see a headline that makes you angry or anxious.
Okay, got it.
First, the sieve of truth.
Okay.
Is this information from a credible source? Is it presenting a balanced perspective or is it biased or sensationalized?
Right. Is it designed to provoke an emotional response?
Yeah.
To get clicks and shares, it's crucial to be discerning about the sources we trust.
Yeah.
And to be wary of information that's designed to manipulate our emotions.
Then the sieve of kindness.
Okay.
Is consuming this information helpful to me?
Right.
Does it contribute to my well-being?
Yeah.
Or does it just fuel negativity, stress, or outrage?
Sometimes we have to be protective of our mental and emotional space.
Yeah.
Just because something is trending or everyone is talking about it doesn't mean we have to engage with it.
Yeah. And finally, the sieve of necessity.
Okay.
Do I really need to know this information?
Right.
Will it help me make better decisions? Will it enrich my understanding of the world? Or is it just noise that's cluttering my mind and stealing my attention?
This is such a powerful point.
Yeah.
We have a limited amount of mental bandwidth.
Right.
Why waste it on information that doesn't serve us?
Wow. This is really giving me a whole new perspective on information overload.
Yeah.
It's not just about the quantity.
Right.
It's about the quality.
Yes.
And the impact it has on me.
It is.
Applying the three sieves to our information consumption empowers us to be more mindful,
yeah,
intentional, and ultimately more in control of our own minds.
I couldn't have said it better myself. It's like being the curators of our own mental diet.
I like that.
Choosing to nourish ourselves with information that is true, kind, and necessary.
This has been such an incredible deep dive.
It has.
We've explored the three sieves of Socrates, truth, kindness, and necessity.
Yes.
In our communication, in our relationships, and now even in how we consume information.
I love it.
It's amazing how this ancient wisdom can still be so relevant in our modern world.
And we've seen how these timeless principles connect to modern psychology, mindfulness practices, and even communication techniques like nonviolent communication.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really about cultivating a more conscious and compassionate approach to how we interact with the world,
mm-hmm,
both internally and externally.
It's been such a pleasure exploring these ideas with you.
Likewise.
I'm walking away from this conversation feeling inspired and empowered to apply these sieves in all areas of my life.
It's been a joy to be here. And remember, it's a journey, not a destination.
Right.
Be patient with yourself, keep practicing, and you'll be amazed at the transformative power of these simple but profound principles.
Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the three sieves of Socrates.
My pleasure.
We hope you found this conversation insightful and thought-provoking.
I hope so, too.
And listeners, we'd love to hear from you. Have you ever used the three sieves in your own life? What aha moments did you have during this episode? Share your thoughts and experiences with us on social media or on our website.
We'd love to hear from you.
Until next time, be kind to yourselves, be kind to each other, and happy communicating.